All right, we are now celebrating. Marco has earned, he has played not for his supper, but for his cocktail.
Yeah, for his drink.
We are celebrating with some incredible margaritas. Chef Nick, tell us all about your guest, Adam.
We have Adam here from Pepe's Tacos. Adam's been a guest before. Pepe's has been a staple in the area for how many years?
Well, we've been, altogether it's been 50 years, but we've been in business 44 years.
And how long have you had your location over here in Maryville?
The new one, 5 years. Previous to that, we were there for 36 years on 30 and Broadway.
Okay. So you made margaritas for us today.
Yes.
What kind did you make us?
Well, typically we make like El Toro, or that's the products we use, El Toro or El Toro Triple Sec. But today I kind of upgraded a little bit. Cadillac, some people call it the Mercedes.
Because we're worth it.
Yeah. I can feel them. I can feel that, the room of that Mercedes in me. Right. But it's really good.
Yeah, it's and what I brought in today was Casamigos and Cointreau. So Cointreau is like the liqueur portion of it. And I mixed it up with the – we kind of mix it up a little bit. Today I put a tahine on the top of the rim.
Yeah, explain. Tom loved it. But
yeah.
Tell us what the tahine is.
Tahine is a mixture of paprika, lime, lemon, and it just kind of gives it a little bit more of a spicier taste, you know. And
I've never seen that.
Yeah. Me neither. You always see salt or...
Or sugar.
Or yeah. Sugar.
I
but
don't
we use
like.
A tahine, and it just makes it... It gives it a whole different
now,
flavor.
Now, as someone that cooks, this tahine, have you ever thought about putting on some chicken breast and grilling it?
Or we salmon. We have. It's good stuff.
I can tell this thing could really flavor things up.
I mean, you go to like South Chicago, and they cut up fruit... And they put a little bit of tahine and a little bit of pepper on there. And
now, so, do you make this yourself, or is this something you can buy in a jar?
No, it's
tahine?
Something you could buy.
Okay.
I've never heard of it before.
I have never heard of it either.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. That would be good on like a good piece of salmon.
I could see that.
Yeah.
You know?
It does. It gives it a whole different flavor.
Yeah, and you're a Mexican restaurant. I mean, is margaritas like really the number one drink that you give up and you sell?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's
now
it's
this one you just
staple.
We forgot the blender, but folks, believe me, we're drinking margaritas
on the rocks.
On the rocks, we're sitting here with Adam from Pepe's, but Pepe's also brought some gift cards with them. So if you want to call in and ask Adam from Pepe's some questions, call in 769-9577, 769-9577, and join the conversation and get a gift card from Pepe's restaurant out in Maryville.
I got a quick question. Right, so margaritas on the rocks, but sometimes margaritas in a blender. Sometimes it's margaritas with an alcoholic mixer. Like, there's like a dozen ways to make a margarita, which really, is the right, the authentic way.
The authentic way
on Wednesday, on Cinco de Mayo, when I'm sitting at home, and I need to make it authentically.
Because he's an Irishman.
Okay. Yeah, so for me, if it doesn't come in a green bottle that says Jameson, I don't know what to do with it.
Typically... You're going to have, your tequila, and you have millions of tequilas.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in Casamigos just because of the flavor. And
we're special.
And you're special. So we needed the Mercedes Cadillac version for you guys. And,
vroom, vroom.
And then you have to have a liqueur, triple sec. We have Grand Marnier. In this case, I bought Cointreau, which is a French liqueur. But like, if you're at home... A lot of people just actually real limes, and then they squeeze the limes, and then they put a little bit of Rose's lime juice in there, and that's all you need.
That's it. Bing, bang. No blender, no blender even needed, right?
No,
you just throw it in the glass.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, like
do you guys got like a giant margarita? Like that?
We have
two or three, 20 people at once?
Well, we have 38-ounce margarita.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's become the thing. It's almost like a
let's share it.
What do you call those things? Like at 7-Eleven, where they're pre-made and
oh, the big gulp.
They're like slushy. Yeah, they're like big gulp.
Yeah,
I've been to a few restaurants now where margaritas are so popular, they've got those ready to go, and you just okay, boom, here you go. Now, when I started drinking many, many, many decades ago, margaritas
but
came
only over the age of 21.
Oh, I was going to comment,
or was it 19 at that? 21. We'll go with 21.
Okay. Right? Yeah. There were two kinds of margaritas. There was the traditional, which I am drinking here with the salt rim, and then there was the strawberry, which the girls seem to gravitate
everyone talks
to.
Everyone talks about strawberry margaritas.
Yeah. Which had the sugar rim, which I'm not a big fan of, but again, it was a girl thing, mostly, in my era.
Yeah.
But now, you go to Pepe's or different restaurants, and they have a menu that could choke a giraffe of all the different kinds of margaritas.
Right, right.
There's peach, and there's this, and there's that.
Well, we do. We have mango, we have peach, we have strawberry.
It's like smoothies.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
That's what
strawberry, and then we have a mixture of mango, strawberry, or raspberry.
So when you do the mangoes and the strawberries, do you use this straight tequila, or what kind of what do you put in those?
No, we
like
use
this.
It, yeah. Yeah, we use the same thing. Because you know, we have a mixer.
Yeah,
just you know.
But I mean, all the time you think of margarita, you just think of fruit with some tequila. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then you want to be cheap, use vodka probably.
Vodka.
I've heard that one.
Where do you go drinking? I have never seen anyone use vodka in a margarita.
I'm not kidding. Do they?
No, well, you know, we basically also have jalapeno margaritas.
Mm.
So
wow.
Those are
spicy.
Yeah, those are really.
My problem is. I don't want to drink a second one because I got to make the studio in a few hours. But it was really good. I already finished mine off.
Yeah, you were drinking pretty hard there, Nick.
Heavy lunch there. Heavy lunch I had to deal with.
Well, you are listening to our crossover show, Midwest Beat with me, Tom Lounges, and Let's Eat with Chef Nick. We are celebrating Cinco de Mayo coming up in a couple of days. So, you know, we're the kind of guys that like to get first in line to get the best seats and the best, give you some ideas. So we are blending music. We are blending food. We are blending alcohol, and we are having a good time here at Lakeshore Public Radio in the studios. And Adam from Pepe's is with us, and he has blended up, I shouldn't say blend, has poured us some great margaritas, and that's what we're talking about. So if you have a question for Adam or for Nick or myself or even Tom, he's sitting here talking about Jameson. Wrong holiday, Tom. Give us a call at 219-769-9577. Earn yourself a couple of gift cards, and we're just having fun. Join the party. Be ahead of the curve on Cinco de Mayo and join us today.
Join the fiesta.
Yes. You realize that the margaritas was not developed in Mexico.
Right.
It was. You know the history?
I didn't know that.
I heard it was, I've heard several versions, but the one I heard was somewhere out in, I think, San Diego, California.
Baja.
Okay.
Baja, California. Yeah. In 1938, I looked it up. Is when he made the and it was
tell me it was by Mexican Americans though. Please tell me there's
authenticity
here.
Because the guy's name
here.
Was Danny Carlos.
Okay, I'll accept that.
And there was a he made it for a dancer that was allergic to all kinds of spirits, but she was not allergic to tequila.
Really?
So he came up with this drink for her. And then
her name must have been Margarita.
No, in 19 no,
in
nine,
good
no,
conclusion.
In 1948 in Galveston, Texas. There was a lady named Margaret, and she was a star of some sort, and the bartender made her that same drink and then named it after her, Margaret or Margarita.
Wow.
So they were both, actually, the drink was developed in Texas.
In Texas. Galveston's a seaport, though. I don't see this being, I would think this would be close to a border town, though.
Well, in 38, it was first developed in Baja, California. That's where it was.
Now, are we talking Baja Peninsula, which runs into Mexico, or are we talking actual Baja?
Oh, no, I don't know.
I really Tom, you're the history major here.
Yeah, but that's geography.
Okay. I'm a simple radio guy here.
So what are you guys doing special for Cinco de Mayo?
Well, we're going to be having a scriber. We're going to have Modelo glasses from 11 to 1. You come in, and they'll scribe your glass, Modelo glass, with whatever you want on it. And then we'll have the Corona girls coming in at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
And then it's just a crazy atmosphere from 11 until 9.
Any live entertainment?
I don't. Typically, I usually have live entertainment on what I call the real Mexican Independence, which is in September 16th.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have that outside.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day,
right.
Which a lot of people think.
It was
but
the start
it's not.
Of it, right?
Correct.
It was like,
well,
that's when they envisioned
actually,
it?
Actually, no, what happened was Cinco de Mayo is actually a battle.
A battle.
Right.
In which the French controlled part of Mexico, and the peasants and the army, they basically had an uprising against the French army, and they beat them in that particular battle.
And they made margaritas to celebrate.
And they probably made margaritas.
A lot of them.
Yeah, at least a lot of tequila, that's for sure.
So now, go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, you talked about, you know, the Corona girls. Corona is synonymous with Mexico and, you know, probably, you know, more so the marketing campaign behind it with the lime. I always liked Pacifico.
Yes. When,
you know, it's probably my favorite Mexican lager. But is there a traditional Mexican lager? Because we got Corona, we got Pacifico, we got Dos Equis, we got, you know, Modelos. You know,
yeah.
The typical big ones. But what are they drinking?
Pretty much, like you go to certain parts of Mexico, it all depends on the region.
Mm-hmm.
Like Central Mexico, which is where I'm from, a lot of Modelo, a lot of Sol tequila,
yeah,
and a lot of Carta Blanca.
Okay.
But like I said, you know, the campaign, the money that's been poured into it,
mm-hmm.
you know, Modelo and Corona have just come out on top.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like you have what, White Sox?
Uh-huh.
I think they have Modelo as their beer. And Corona just, I mean, they've just poured millions of dollars into that one.
Yeah.
And if you go to Mexico, in the small towns, you won't, a lot of times you won't even find Corona.
Oh.
Now, when I'm in San Antonio, Corona is very popular, but so is Modelo. Now, let me ask you this, Adam, and this is a cultural thing that I had culture shock when we went down there to visit our cousins. We went into a predominantly Mexican bar, and everyone was drinking Coronas, Modelos, whatever, and they were licking their bottles. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? It was called Fully Dressed. They would, kind of like you do with a margarita, they would roll it in lime juice and then salt the bottle, and you would lick the bottle and drink
it.
Yeah.
And I guess the alcohol kills the germs, but I'd never seen this.
Oh, yeah.
And it became, everywhere we went, we'd say, we want our Corona's Fully Dressed. You bring it any other state outside of Texas, and they look at you like you're from Mars.
I never heard of that.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you are familiar with that.
Even in Mexico.
Do the dogs lick the bottles too, probably?
I'm sure they do. Whatever's left over. No, but pretty much in Mexico, everywhere you go, especially, again, the small towns, you know, it's salt and lime is everywhere.
I just never thought of licking the bottle. I mean, where did that start from?
I don't know. It probably made it easier or something.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have to carry the salt.
You don't have to put it on your hand and lick
that's
it.
That's the other thing.
That's the other thing.
We walked into this. We had gone to the Alamo Bowl, and our cousins are Mexican, and they took us out, and we were checking out the town, and we walked into a predominantly Mexican-American bar. We walked in, and it's like the whole place stopped for a minute, because here's these three gringos walking in, and then our family came in behind us, and they're like, they're okay. And the music started again. It was like scene. It was like a scene out of a movie. And I'm serious about it. It was like a scene out of a movie.
Did
it's
you
like,
have your spurs on?
No. It was a traditional neighborhood bar where the regulars, the hometown guys, were there. And here come the tourists, and we clearly look like tourists.
Yeah.
And we walked into this like family bar, and they're like, who are these people? And then the cousins walked in behind us and was like, okay, they're fine. And then they all like toasted us by licking their bottles. And I'm like, what does that mean? Is that a friendly gesture? And they're
did
like,
they
oh,
wink
yeah.
afterwards? They give you
very
a little
friendly.
Wink?
It's very friendly.
Lick that bottle and give me a wink.
And the oldest American Legion in America is in San Antonio. It's like an old fort. Yeah, it's beautiful. And we went in there and they were licking bottles too. And that's the second time I saw it.
So at that point, it was old hat for you. You were used to
it. I was used to that. Yeah. So if I go to Pepe's, Adam, if I go to Pepe's and say, I want a Corona Fully Dressed, will you dress it for me?
I promise you.
All right, we're going to do that.
Phone lines open, 219-769-9577. Call up and ask a question of Adam from Pepe's and get a gift card, or ask a question of Chef Nick and get a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield.
So what do they make tequila out of? Just to give a little.
Good question.
Well, I mean, I've been to a couple of the – what it is, it's the agave plant.
Mm-hmm.
So basically when you go – to Mexico, these all you see. I mean, you go down, especially the state of Jalisco, which is where we're from. You see all these leaves, kind of like a, almost like a pineapple leaf sticking out from the ground.
I always feel like it's in like an aloe vera plant or something like that.
Yeah, kind of similar.
It looked like
that.
It.
Yeah, but I tell you what, when you as the years go, they literally when they pull them out of the ground, you know, they're up to like 6 feet. In height.
Wow, really?
Yeah. And then they basically, you know, use that as the processing for the tequila. Now, the years ago, the Indians, what they used to do is they used to get what they call pulque. So they would cut the top of those leaves, and it has like a milky substance. And so they would eat that or drink that, and that would allow them to, like, run, like when they were couriers.
Uh-huh.
So they would run from one, you know, one town to
another.
They
had a stimulant in it.
So yeah. It was like the original power drink.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the agave does it have to ferment and everything?
Yes. Yes.
So is it part of the cactus family? It looks like a cactus in some
ways. You know
what?
I don't know if it's part
of the cactus.
It's
got the needles.
But it looks exactly like a huge cactus.
Okay.
And so basically over just when they process and ferment it, you know, the more time that's...
Is this something that's planted? I know I'm stretching it here because you're not a farmer, but is it when they pull them, they plant new ones every time?
They try, yeah. A lot of times.
So it's not reused.
Yeah, I mean, a couple years ago I heard that they were having issues with planting them.
Uh-huh.
And they said that, you know, potentially, you know, in the next 20 years they may have a shortage of tequila.
You know, I looked this up too. They harvest almost 300 million plants a year.
Oh, it's incredible.
That's how many they harvest.
Yeah, I mean, it has to have, it's almost like, probably like in France, you have to have a certain temperature, certain type of material, you know, grade of dirt and that kind of stuff.
Well, they say it's from the red volcano ashes.
Yeah.
That's what makes that such a, because it's only like a regional thing where they plant those. Right. You just can't find them in Crown Point. In Winfield, I mean, I got an agave plant.
Agave, though, not a cactus. It's actually a type of succulent. So, you know, those like weird plants that like your aunt has on her windowsill kind of a thing. That's essentially it. The difference being that cactus actually don't have leaves.
Right.
Agave do.
Oh, really?
So there you go. So if you see something with a leaf, it's a succulent, not a cactus.
Okay.
So now you know.
Now they also use like it to make mezcal. Now, what exactly, and as a layman who just likes to drink, what's the difference between mezcal and tequila?
Just basically.
Other than the worm.
The time of fermentation. Yeah.
So mezcal is more powerful.
It is, but it's.
Isn't it a cheaper quality?
It is. It is. That's why I'm saying like pulque is like pretty much the cheapest because you literally the Indians would actually come and cut it and then like suck on the plant or the leaf and then that's why they got the mezcal.
You know, we always think tequila has the worm in it, but it's
no, that's mezcal.
It's mezcal that has the worm in it.
And I don't know what the history of that is. Where did that come from? If the worm dies, then it's good.
No, it's I guess when they make it, it actually naturally brings out these little spores that a worm develops in it.
Is that what it
as
is?
As they're making it, and they just left
How
it in there.
How do you know that?
I look things up. Google.
Yeah.
Don't believe what you read on the internet.
It's the truth.
Didn't anyone ever tell you that?
You know what they do? You know what I hear they do? It's also in the tequila bottles. They'll take a rattlesnake, and they'll drown it. And put it in the bottle.
Really?
The guys drink from it. They think that it's got
what
some...
What bars do you go to?
But it's true. Have you ever seen a snake?
I've heard of it.
You heard of it? You never bought one and you had a snake in it?
Wow. Oh, here we go. It was actually a marketing strategy.
Oh, Tom and his Google.
According to tasteofhome.com, a bottle maker in the 1950s discovered a moth larva in a batch of his liquor and thought the stowaway... improved its taste, he started adding worms to all his bottles as a marketing strategy.
Wow. So and supposedly, if you eat the worm, you will get wheelie, wheelie wasted because it's so saturated. Adam, what made you go into restauranting?
Well, I kind of grew up in the business.
Okay.
My brother, my mom, and my dad kind of started the process.
Were they in Pepe's?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is a tradition.
53rd Avenue.
The one I went to when I was a kid.
Broadway.
Remember the one on 53rd Avenue? When you used to cruise Broadway when you were younger?
Yeah.
So that's where they got involved, and then over the course of time, one of the partners broke off, and he opened the one on 61st, and we moved to US 30 and Broadway, where the old Fannie Mae was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we opened there.
Are you connected to the one that's in, like, Sherville Dyer there on 30?
No, that's Javier Ortega.
I used to work for Minor Dunn, and I helped open that as a Minor Dunn. We built that from the base up.
Oh, wow.
And then now it's a Pepe's, and I go there a lot. That's like where I pass out. I'll go, not pass out, but I pass by.
Pass by before you pass out.
Before I pass out. I'll go to that Pepe's a lot. But that was an original Minor Done.
So what's going on now with the coronavirus? I guess we got the mask for a little bit longer.
Yes.
We got the corona.
I know. How's the business been?
You know what? We've been so blessed. Business has been just incredible. Since day one, when they closed us down, our carryout business like tripled, and it's never stopped. And now we're starting to see people that we haven't seen for a year, and they're telling us, "Well, we're finally coming out." Mm-hmm. But you know, we've been.
You are still doing curbside? You still?
We still do curbside. We still do carryout, and we're doing dine-in. In fact, we have several parties that we have lined up, and we just built. Put an awning over our patio,
mm-hmm.
so now we'll be able to use it pretty much, like a three-season room almost.
Mm. So, catering-wise, are you starting to get into some catering? Because that was a
yeah, we've done a lot of pharmaceutical reps, pretty much. And then we're, right now with the graduation season coming up, we'll be doing a lot of that. But outside of that, we kind of focus more on our carry-out and our dine-in business.
Well, do you have a party room there?
We have a small party room, but like I said, now that we have the patio, we've covered it, and we're going to start using that as more of a party room, and we're building a patio with an awning and the bar side, so we'll start having some live music, hopefully starting in June.
So there's talk to Marco Villarreal.
Yes, I was going to say I asked him for his card.
that's something that that happened a couple of times on Let's Eat early on, as we opened things back up to get some guests in and people talking about the expansions that they were making during COVID, what's that been like for your business to kind of, I guess take that leap of faith to say things are going to go back to normal? People are going to want to go back out to restaurants. People are going to want to come back to our restaurant. Yes, right. Let's do the work on the patio. Let's build another patio. Let's expand our brick and mortar space. What goes into that decision-making as a business owner in light of the pandemic?
Well, the way we looked at it was we know that at some point, sometime, things were going to get better. And we already had some idea that we wanted to do it. So the fact that last year was probably the most that we had ever used our patio, and it's just kind of the new norm.
Yeah.
People want to be outside. People
so it's kind of great that you gain the carryout business.
Yes.
And now you feel like you're maintaining that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And now you're getting the people to come in the front door.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we're literally at the point where we need to hire more people.
Which is a problem right now, isn't it?
It is. It's sad. I mean, I just came back from Florida, and a lot of places just for hiring. And for the most part, we've been blessed again. Most of our crew's been with us for a long time, so.
How about food truck?
That seems
to be the trend.
It is, and I'd love to do it sometime. I'm just going to wait to kind of make sure we get things are situated at the restaurant and make sure we get take off and have enough employees, and then there's new ventures out there waiting for us.
Nick, I'm going to ask the same of you. What about a food truck for Chef Nick's?
I'm having the same problem as Adam. The problem is you can't find employees. Just cannot. I had
that happen last weekend. We went out to eat, went to four different restaurants, and they were like, it's an hour wait. I'm like, but there's nobody in the restaurant. The tables were virtually empty. We have one server. We can't get enough help. Or the chef called off, or the chef quit. I'm hearing that from multiple restaurants. Yeah, why is that?
I'm just thinking more of the stimulus,
Mm-hmm. So people don't want to work.
People don't want to work.
And then the unemployment benefits are coming on now. So
sure. I just couldn't believe that. Four restaurants in a row on a Monday. When normally restaurants are closed, we went, okay, someone's going to be there. And I won't name the restaurants, but they were all in Maryville. We went to four of them, and everyone was the same story. 45 minutes to an hour wait. And it's there's nobody here.
Well, I've seen several places that actually closed. And I drove by, and they literally said, not enough staff. We will be
closed.
That's
crazy.
Today. Yeah, and that's become the problem right now.
People need to get back to work.
Yeah,
they really do.
I'm working harder, longer.
Oh yes,
because there's big gaps. I mean, it's just me. And we haven't at my restaurant. We haven't opened up the dining room. We just do everything through carry out. Because I'm afraid if I open the dining room, the situations you walked up to, you got to walk up to my place, and then it kind of stigmatizes you. It makes you look like you're not knowing what you're doing. And really, it's all about health.
The first thing I said after the fourth one, I was like, look, I started in the hospitality business. I said, who does your scheduling? She said, well, I'd tell you, but they don't work here anymore either. I'm like, really?
Wow.
So, they had no one to do scheduling. It was just like the hostess and one server and one bartender in a big restaurant out here. And I felt sorry for them because I'm sure they were taking a lot of heat because I was angry. And then I kind of felt bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're doing the best they can.
And a lot of people are making adjustments.
Right.
I mean, you're not getting the table service anymore. Some of them come up to the counter and then we'll bring the food out to a lot of self-serve, a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah. Things have changed in the hospitality industry. It's, hopefully things will get better. But, you know, in the meantime, you just keep praying that people show up to work.
Right. You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, and streaming at www.lakeshorepublicradio.org. This is the mashup. This is the crossover show. You know, they can do it on TV. We can do it on radio, too. Crossover with Let's Eat with Chef Nick and Midwest Beat with yours truly. Coming up in a little bit, Dave Sanchez of Sounds of Santana is on his way. We are drinking margaritas, thanks to Adam from Pepe's in Merrillville. And we are just having a good time. Let's play a quick song real quick. And
While he makes us another margarita.
And this is an appropriate song. It's by Los Lobos out of East L.A. And, we're tasting the wonderful skills of Adam and his margaritas. So this one's called Taste of Me, Sabor a Mi.
Tanto tiempo disfrutamos de este amor, nuestras almas se acercaron, tanto así que yo guardo tu sabor, como tú llevas también sabor a mí. Si negaras mi presencia en tu vivir, bastaría con abrazarte y conversar, tanta vida yo te di, que por fuerzas llevarás sabor a mí. No pretendo ser tu dueño, no soy nada, yo no tengo vanidad en mi vida. Otra cosa puedo dar, pasarán más de mil años, muchos más, yo no sé si tenga amor, la eternidad, pero allá tal como aquí, y en la boca llevarás sabor a mí. Pero allá tal como aquí, y
y en la boca llevarás sabor a mí, sabor a mí, sabor a mí, sabor a mí.
Sabor a mí, taste of me. We are celebrating Cinco de Mayo early because that's how we roll here at Lakeshore. Chef Nick in the house, Adam in the house from Pepe's in Merrillville, and we just swapped out engineers again. It's kind of like a relay race. They keep handing each other the baton. Tom is gone. Jose is in the captain's chair.
Did he give you the margarita?
He has a margarita in hand.
I have to say it is very delicious.
Or Tom took his?
Very delicious, yeah. And thank you for having me.
You always wind up on the good shows. When there's alcohol involved, there's Jose.
Hey,
folks,
it's a coincidence.
We got another about 20 minutes left with Adam from Pepe's. If you want to call in, get a gift card, 769-9577, 769-9577. And after Adam leaves, we have Alejandra coming in, and she brought in all the food to soak up all this alcohol.
Oh, good thing. And Dave Sanchez from Sounds of Santana is supposed to be coming in. He should hopefully be on his way by now. I have a question for Adam, and that is, what is the best-selling items on a Pepe's menu at your location?
For us, it's typically our pork burritos, our beef tacos, our steak tacos, and we just added several new items to our menu, which is carne al pastor.
Which is what?
Which is marinated pork.
Okay.
We have pork meat, but it's more like in the juice, and pastor is more of a shoulder pork cut.
So it's a leaner cut.
It is.
Okay.
And it's marinated. Incredible.
What do you marinate with?
Basically, we have a little bit of tahini.
Yeah. Okay, there we go again.
We have a few of the other salsas, and then we put a little bit of pineapple.
See, I'm a typical guy. When I get a taco, it's a chicken taco. And it seems like pork is the going taco meat.
Yeah, is that the new trend? What is trending in Mexican food, you think?
Well, we're trying more soups. We just started pozole, which is a hominy soup.
Okay.
And we do it with pork. And then we also have caldo de res.
Which is
a beef soup, but it has corn, carrot, cabbage, very healthy, great in the winter, but even in the summer, it's a great taste.
We got a caller?
I don't know. Do we have a caller?
Yes, we do. Tom Walla.
All right, Tom.
Tom, how are you doing?
Okay, hey, Tom.
Join the fiesta with us.
Yes, we are partying.
Hello, I wish I could, but, you know, I'll tell you a little story. I've been going to Pepe's ever since I was in high school. It's my wife and I's favorite place. We started going there on 57th and Broadway.
In what high school did you go to?
I went to Andrea and my wife went to Hobart.
Now, were you guys cruising Broadway and that was the place to go at the end?
No, it was just our favorite place and we loved the food. So, you know.
Well, we appreciate it.
We love the margaritas.
Yeah, we're having some margaritas in your honor, Tom. Yes, we are.
I was a little too young back then to have the margaritas. I do now, though.
And you visit the new.
You know, there's another little tradition.
Okay.
My daughter's flying in from L.A., and part of her welcome home gift is Pepe's tacos. And I have them. Yeah. I pick them up tonight. I'll have them at the airport ready for it.
Awesome.
Do they not have Pepe's in L.A.?
No.
Mm-mm. No, they
really?
Do not.
Really?
It's a regional.
No, they got a lot
Midwest.
Of Mexican food, but she loves Pepe's. Yeah.
I would think it would be, you know, being in L.A.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that Pepe's was regional.
No, it's just regional.
Yeah, it's just a regional. It's
I never knew that. Yeah. Oh, I thought they were a national chain all this time.
No. Nope.
So, wow. Tom, when you go there, what do you get?
My favorite is the pork.
See, everyone's getting pork.
You're right.
My son, wait a minute. My son's favorite is the chicken.
All right.
There you go, Tom.
I feel redeemed.
You got a pollo friend.
There you go.
Well, now, we appreciate it, Tom.
No, I got one other question.
Yeah.
To draw it out. Who was the older gentleman at 57th location approximately in the 70s?
It was probably Jimmy the Greek.
Jimmy the Greek running Jimmy a Mexican restaurant?
Yeah, well, Jimmy was kind of like he was our bartender. He did everything. But, yeah, he was with us for like almost 30 years.
Yeah, like I said, I was just wondering what happened to him. I didn't know if he was a relative of yours or whatever.
It might have been my dad. I mean, who knows? My dad was there forever. He always gray-haired guy.
I bet you it was your dad.
Yeah, it was probably my dad. Yeah, unfortunately, we lost him this past year, but you know what? My dad's always with us, and I'm sure he's up in heaven.
He's always in a good mood. And he always
had a smile on his face. That was my dad.
Yep, I remember that
was my dad then,
Wow.
Yep.
Well, Tom, we're going to set you up with a gift card. Chef Nick, tell him what he's getting.
You got a gift card from Pepe's Restaurant out of Merrillville.
Imagine that.
Okay. The station will be sending it out to you, okay?
Okay, we got the address
from Tom. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Tom, thanks a lot.
What does your wife get when she goes to Pepe's?
My wife? She gets the pork tacos, too.
Of course she does.
Everyone gets the pork tacos.
Now, you know, I know Tom knows, but my wife is from Pawns.
Right. She's the lead singer of Pawns.
Oh, she played. You know what? She did my graduation in 1980 when they were Linda and the Stars.
Yeah. See how it goes back?
I think she's a cousin of mine, distant cousin.
You Greeks are all related in some way.
Some way we are. Some way. If it is not through the ouzo, it's through the baklava.
Hey, 6 degrees of separation.
There you go.
Wow.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Let you know it's appreciated.
Oh, we appreciate you.
Give our best to everybody.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll do. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
So what special events you got coming up? Anything special?
Well, in September, we'll have the Mexican Independence Day fiesta. We'll have a band. We'll have music. It'll be a big event.
Now, do you do the mariachis?
And we'll have the mariachis. Okay. We'll have a live band. I mean, it'll be an all-day event. Mm-hmm. Also for November 1st, which is All Saints Day, or in our case, Dia de los Muertos. We're going to have...
Day of the Dead?
Day of the Dead.
Okay.
We're going to have an event. When my dad passed away, I always wanted to make sure that we had something for my dad. So being Catholic, we built a little grotto for my dad. And we have a really beautiful tile picture of the Virgin Mary. And so we're going to basically have... we're going to invite a lot of people, because unfortunately this past year we lost probably about 12 customers through COVID, and so we want to have a little event for all those people and have an event for Day of the Dead.
I'm sure your dad's very proud of you, proud of you, of what you've accomplished.
Well, it all comes from him.
Speaking of that memorial, going back to when we go to San Antonio, we go to a variety of different restaurants there, mm-hmm. and almost all of them have a little grotto. And loyal customers who pass, they put their picture up,
and honor them. And we want to kind of honor...
I thought that was a fascinating thing, a very cultural thing.
Yeah. You know,
I've never seen that up here.
Well, you know, it's one of those things that being religious, and my dad was very religious... We just want to keep his legacy alive.
Mm-hmm.
And not only his, but all those other people that used to come to Pepe's that are no longer with us, we want to keep their legacy alive as well.
When is Day of the Dead?
November 1st.
November 1st.
Yes.
And is that kind of like the equivalent of All Saints Day?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Interesting stuff.
So those are probably the two big events that they'll be coming up.
We've got the phone open if you want to join us at 219-769-9577. Adam's going to be with us just a few more minutes. If you've got any final questions for him, Chef Nick is here. He's got stuff to give away. We've got Dave Sanchez of Sounds of Santana in the house.
Alejandra coming on.
Alejandra's
from
coming
tacos,
on.
Burrito, Yamas,
so we've
Mexican
got
restaurant.
A little over an hour left here on our mashup show. This is one of those things. The networks always cross over in the beginning of the TV season with all their hit shows. We're doing that, too, because we're the hits here. We're Midwest Meat and Let's Eat. What's better than music and food? Nothing.
Nothing is. Amen. And you know what? And you know what's great is when you're on the radio, you can really drink.
Yeah, you can. Adam has set us up with some incredible margaritas. And
Alejandro's got the food. I can see it over there. We're going to get tacos.
That's what I'm smelling. I'm going, something's smelling good here. Yeah, I can definitely do that.
I got to say.
So give us a call, 769-9577. That's not it. Is that it?
Yeah.
9577.
Yep.
I went into a zone there. I went into autopilot.
It was
the
margarita.
It was the margarita.
The smell of food.
My mind left my body there. So that's it. That's on autopilot. So what is you're talking about getting live entertainment on a semi-regular basis again?
Yes.
Now that the numbers are lowering and people are doing things again?
Correct. Yeah, we're like in the process of building a new patio on the bar side, and we want to basically try and create an environment where people can, mm-hmm. can go relax.
So the entertainment's outdoors?
It'll be outdoors.
Okay.
Yeah. And we'll have a fireplace. You know, so we want to kind of
make sure you get Dave Sanchez's card too. He does a great solo.
No, Dave's played for us.
Oh, he has played. Yeah. Okay, so you're old friends
already. And
actually,
he's related to one of my employees.
Of course.
Yeah. And you guys are all related to ours. It's not just tacos.
We're one bottle of tequila away from each other.
Well, we want to thank Adam from Pepe's for coming on. And giving out the gift card.
I want to thank him for the margaritas.
Yeah, I want to thank him for that. I want to thank him. I know it's a busy night. It's going to be a busy night tonight. You know how it is. But thank you for coming in.
It's the best radio show I've done in ages.
Well, thank you so much for having me. You know, I actually look forward to it.
Uh-huh.
When Nick sent me the message saying, hey, you know, would you be willing to? I said, sure. No problem.
You're willing to give us a little buzz? That's fine. We give
exactly.
you a little buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we appreciate it. But thank you very much.
It's all about the buzz. Yeah. All right. Cinco de Mayo, join us at Pepe's. And again, they are in Merrillville at the corner of 30 and Broadway.
We're at 260 East 84th.
Hours of operation, real quick.
We are open Sunday through Thursday from 11 to 9. And then on Friday and Saturday, we're open till 10.
And phone number, because everyone loves to pick up Mexican food.
769-7191 or 769-PEPE, P-E-P-E.
Thank you, Adam.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.